4.
Nij graho jasa viraha
Kalindigvijaye
vache
Nripalinga
dharam shudram Natam go mitunam pada Nija graho jasa viraha all the necessary vitamins to sustain human
physiological conditions for higher achievements. Brahmanical culture can advance only when man is educated to develop the quality of goodness. And for this, there is a prime necessity of food prepared with milk, fruits and grains. Maharaj Parikshit was astonished to see that a black Shudra dressed like a ruler was mistreating a cow, the most important animal in human society. The age of Kali means mismanagement and quarrel. And the root cause of all mismanagement and quarrel is that worthless men with the modes of lower class men who have no higher ambition in life come to the helm of the state management. Such men at the post of a king are sure to first herd the cow and the Brahmanical culture, thereby pushing all society towards hell. Maharaj Parikshit, trained as he was, got the scent of this root cause of all quarrel in the world. Thus he wanted to stop it in the very beginning.
Om Agyan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mokam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Karanam Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavne Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Seeking permission and blessing from all senior Vaishnavas present here, try to glorify Krishna today. So today we have this very nice verse here from first canto, and as we know, Srila Prabhupada, when he went to USA, so he had his first canto already written. So he put most important concepts as far as possible in first canto. So, and we see the purports are amazing, of course, of all cantos, but especially this was his first effort he put in Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was distributing his Back to Godhead magazines, and then someone suggested him that, you know, magazines are just, you know, they can disappear here and there, but you should write books, they are solid, they will stay. So then he was inspired, and he started his translations in English, as his Guru Maharaj's order as well, that he should preach in the Western world. You are an educated man. So here we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, Gopavindesh Prabhu was beautifully glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam a few days back. So here, in first few chapters of Bhagavatam, we see the history is given, history of Bhagavatam, how it came about. So Srila Vyasadeva, he sat in meditation, and he was a perfect spiritualist, so he could actually see in the future. So analogies are given, like, you know, there is an astrologer, so by seeing the movements of various planets he can predict what's going to happen. Or an astronomer, he can see the different movements and he can predict, okay, there will be an eclipse on this date, this time. So in similar way, Vyasadeva's vision was also very perfect. He could see in the future, and he saw that, oh, in the future, the religious principles will be at decline and people will be very low class. Their about that, and he divided the four Vedas. Veda, originally it was only one, but then he divided so that people in future would be able to understand when there is a division. And for intelligent people, they can understand and pick out the main points from a massive composition, but for ordinary people, it's not easy. That's why there is division, subdivision, we have different chapters and, you know, sections like that. So it's easy to understand that way. So that's why he divided it, and then further his disciples, the grand disciples, they further took charge of various parts. But in the end, he was not satisfied after doing all that. He had written all the supplementary literature as well, Mahabharata and other Puranas, but still he was not satisfied. So then he asked his Guru Maharaj, Narad Muni, and he said that you have not sufficiently glorified Krishna. And that's when he started composing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad means beautiful, this beautiful Bhagavatam which will attract everyone, even the liberated souls. So that's the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we saw in last few chapters how in the story of Pandavas that Arjuna had gone to Dwarka, and when he returned he was very morose, and Yudhishthira Maharaj asked him, what's the reason? So then it was understood that Krishna had left, and so immediately Yudhishthira Maharaj also wanted to retire. So the next chapter, as we have chapter 15, that's entitled Pandavas Retire Timely. These devotees, they know exact time when to take this important decision in their life, because they are inspired by Krishna from within the heart. Throughout their life they follow instructions of Krishna, instructions of Guru, instructions of scripture. So Krishna is present as Chaitanya Guru within the heart, as super soul. He inspires them, oh, this is the right time for doing this, like that. So then they retired. And then they enthroned Parikshit Maharaj as the emperor. So now Parikshit Maharaj was also a great devotee. He was not only a king, but he was a great Vaishnava. So the quality of a Vaishnava is, he is, of course, he is skilled, that as a king, Parikshit Maharaj was skilled in various fields. He was learned in Shastra, Niti Shastra, and you know, how human beings should act, about politics, and managing the whole, the management, administration, all these skills, the fighting skills. But above all these skills was his devotion. So that makes him a real king. As we see in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says that this knowledge had been passed by me to all these Rajarshis. So these kings are like rishis actually. They are not just leaders of the state, but they are like rishis. They are very saintly. So that's the qualification. So knowledge is one thing, and then realization is another thing. So what does it mean actually to be realized? To be realized means that one has full faith on the previous acharyas. That we have full faith that yes, whatever they are saying is perfect. Of course, it's not blind faith, but this is an intelligent faith, people. Because we can see the examples that, okay, by following the instructions of these previous acharyas, we can see in front of us the devotees who are benefiting, and they are helping others. So okay, if I follow their instruction, I will be also benefited. So they have full confidence, and then they can, these realized people, they can impart this knowledge to others. Of according to time, place and circumstance, according to the audience, they can give, they can impart this knowledge according to the circumstance. Like when someone dies, then one time there were queens of many kings who died, and Yamraj came and he gave instructions, suitable instructions. So this is realization. This is a realized person. And he presents according to time, place and circumstance, but he doesn't change the original meaning. He doesn't compromise on the principles. So that's another point of realization. So that was Parikshit Maharaj. He was totally realized. And here, when we see that a learned person, a person who has been appointed on a responsible position, he should know all the religious principles. So we have example in Ajamil's life, what happened at the end of his life when he was about to leave the body. He saw these horrific creatures, these Yamdutas, they came and they tried to pull the soul out of the body, and he was horrified. And then immediately Vishnudutas came and they stopped them. So Yamdutas had never seen Vishnudutas before, and they saw, who are these personalities? They were amazed that who are these, and why are they stopping us? You know, our boss Yamraj sends us to all these sinful men, and we take them and punish them. So how come this first time they are stopping us? So they ask, who are you, and you know, why are you stopping us? So Vishnudutas told that, no, you cannot take him. So they said, no, we have to take him. We are agents of Yamraj. And we want to punish him. So then actually Vishnudutas asked few questions to them. That, okay, you say that you are going to punish them. So please answer these questions. What is religion? What is irreligion? And, you know, who should be punished? Who should not be punished? And, you know, does all men who do karmic activities, they should be punished? So like that, they ask these questions. So which prove that actually people on responsible position who can punish other people, they should be very familiar with religious principles. And then, we know, in that past time later, they went back to Yamraj. And Yamraj told them, no, actually, the religious principles come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana or Krishna. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So these religious principles are there, and all the responsible people should know them. So that was Parikshit Maharaj. He knew all these religious principles. And then, here we see that how he went to conquer the world. So in recent past we have seen many states, many leaders, they wanted to conquer the world. You know, it was British Empire, the French Empire, and Dutch Empire, and Spanish people went, and Portuguese. They wanted to have these colonies. But their motive was, as here it is said, self-aggrandizement. They just want to increase their realm of control. So they want to control more people and increase their sense gratification. But here, Parikshit was not like that. So he went to conquer the world, but his main goal, we see here, Prabhupada writes, so his purpose in going out was to see how things were going on in terms of godly state. So that was his purpose. And in beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in 4th chapter, we see that all the sages were assembled in Naimisharanya, and they asked Suta Goswami different questions. That, okay, how, why was Srimad Bhagavatam spoken, and how was Vyasadeva inspired, and various questions. But ultimately, they were very amazed, and they asked Suta Goswami that, how come Maharaj Parikshit, who was such a great person, who was living to help others, why did he Ganges, you know, to end his life basically. He should not have accepted that curse and just sat down, because his life was meant to help others, and if he was not present, then how would he help others? So many people would be at loss. That's this question they asked. So there is a very nice verse there which says, Shivaya lokasya bhavaya bhutiye ya uttama shloka parayana jana jivanti natmartam asau parashraya mumocha nirvidya kuta kalabram. So here it says, this is Shaunakarishi, he is representing all the sages of Naimisharanya, and he is asking Suta Goswami. So he said that these devotees who are totally devoted to Supreme Personality of Godhead, they only live for three things. They live for welfare, development and happiness of others. So that's the topmost spiritualist. He is actually not living for himself. He can actually very easily, a pure devotee can easily go back to Godhead and just be immersed in his service. But the topmost spiritualist, he actually is concerned with others. So they live for welfare, development and happiness. Shivaya lokasya bhavaya bhutiye. So Shivaya means auspiciousness. When they are present, they are creating an auspicious environment for others. It's like the vibrations, auspicious vibrations come from the body. And actually it is said, if we are in, just by in presence, not even serving or not even, if we don't even serve a pure devotee, if we are just in their vicinity, we get benefit, because they have a pure spiritualized body. There is of course one, the Siddhideha, that the spiritual body, and there is this spiritualized material body. So there is no difference. Basically they are acting totally on the spiritual platform. So that's what this Shaunaka Rishi asked Sutta Goswami, that his presence was, his life was to help others, then why did he sit down at the bank of Ganges? So there that question proves the caliber, the state, the stage which Maharaj Parikshit was on. So now he, Maharaj Parikshit, he is going to conquer the world. He is on his mission to see if everything is alright. And now he sees a black man who is dressed as a king, and he's beating a cow and a bull. So cow, of course, can be represented as Mother Earth, and the bull was Dharma. We'll see in later chapters in this canto. So he was beating them, and Prabhupada writes, cow is the most important animal. People don't understand that. They send the cows to slaughterhouses to eat them. So there is no understanding that. They say, oh, it's cows eat so many grains, and you know, you can just eat the cow, take as much milk as possible, then send to slaughterhouse and just eat the cow. But there was actually one researcher from one university in USA. He did a research, a very detailed research on cows in West Bengal. And then he found out that actually they just eat the grass and, you know, the what's left over from the rice plant and the top of a sugar cane, which is not even used by anyone. They eat that and they are happily surviving, and they give milk. So from the living cow is actually a real asset, economically, materially also. There's, of course, this is a higher principle that, oh, cow is a mother, how can you kill the mother? That's a very high concept. But just to explain on the material grounds, okay, you're talking about material prosperity, that how to develop economy, but this is not even logical that you kill a cow. A cow gives milk, and it's just surviving on the things which are not useful for others. But modern generation is little dumb, so they come up with different reasons. described actually in the higher taste book in the initial chapters, how they are feeding cows with different grains, and they mix the grain with different protein substitute, which come from, it's very horrible process that how it happens, there is a whole industry called the rendering industry. In that industry, what they do, they collect all the, you know, animal parts and different animals which are killed. Some people kill their pets because they're not anymore functional. If they have some disease or a broken leg, they just kill them. So all these bodies are collected, and the waste from the slaughterhouses, they collect it and send to this industry. They steam cook all these things, and it breaks into fat and protein. And then the fat is used in so many different industries, cosmetics and candles and soaps. So imagine, you know, so many people, they put cosmetics, it's just to beautify themselves, but it's like dead waste of animals. So it's pretty horrible. And the soaps, and the candles, beautiful candles that burn. So that's where it comes from. And then there is protein. So they make it dry, and then they add it to the feed of the cattle and pigs. And so they are forced to eat their own species actually. And what was the result? That there are diseases. There was mad cow disease, which was transferable from cows to human beings. And they had to kill so many cows because of that. So logic, there is not even material logic there, what to speak about, you know, these higher principles. So that's why devotees are so intelligent. Not people say, oh, you are neglecting the material part of life, you're leaving the world. But no, it's not like that. A materialist is actually a perfectly balanced person. He is materially happy and he's spiritually happy, a devotee. Like that. And here also we see that what's the product that cow gives is milk. Prabhupada says a miracle food. And in USA, when it's described in Leelamrita, that once when Prabhupada went to a farm community, there his disciple asked, oh, so how to manage these cows and mills, and should the families independently do it or together? So Prabhupada was explaining them that there is an Indian village system and it's very wonderful. So what happens is, okay, there is a community or a small household, they have a big pan, and then they have few cows. So throughout the day when they milk the cow, they collect all the milk in the pan and it's kept warm throughout the day. So all the family members, whoever are there, you drink as much milk as possible. Just imagine, this is opulence. All day you just drink, this is real organic pure milk, you know, from protected cows, not from the cows who are in fear actually that all will be sent to the slaughterhouses, so that they have emotion. Milk actually is love of cow. When cow sees the calf, then there is milk. So then when this milk is collected in the pan, you drink as much milk as possible. That, so at the end of the day, you won't be able to consume everything. So whatever is left, you convert it into yogurt. So next day you have now milk and yogurt. So you drink as much milk and eat as much yogurt as you want, and then whatever milk is left, you convert to yogurt again. Whatever yogurt is left, then when sufficient stock is there, you churn it, churn the yogurt, then what comes is butter. Now you have butter, and the water that is separated is called whey. So Prabhupada said you can use whey as a substitute to dal and eat your chapatis with that whey. And we have also seen whey drinks, they are very, very delicious. And then, when you have butter, from butter you can make ghee. And then he said, so not even one drop of the milk will be, left unused. So this is such amazing system. The milk is such amazing product. It's just, and when we have that milk, then these higher tissues, and these brain tissues, we are nourished with that miracle food, and then we can actually understand this higher knowledge. So if we eat food which is based on violent acts, so our higher nature, that is destroyed. So we cannot understand this knowledge. So that's the importance shared by Srila Prabhupada. So which is very practical, very practical. So in ISKCON we are trying to follow all these processes, and many places already we have with working, and in future we'll see more and more like that. So here we also see that when Parikshit Maharaj saw this dark man beating cow and bull, he actually stopped him. So here actually Prabhupada writes that this is the root cause. Root cause is that such people who are of very low caliber, they are put in the high management in the society, and that's the root cause of all quarrel and hypocrisy and mismanagement in the society. So Maharaj Parikshit wanted to just stop it straight away in the very beginning. So that's what's very important, to stop this unwanted leadership. So that's why we have these books of Srila Prabhupada. By reading these books, we'll be equipped with these principles by which we can all, you know, we can help the society. So ISKCON is actually producing real brahmanas and leaders like that. And then when we, with compassion, when we preach these principles to all these people, then their heart will be changed. So Prahlad Maharaj, in 7th canto, he was telling Narasimhadev that I am not only concerned with my welfare, I am concerned with these fools and rascals who are trying to enjoy it in this material world. So I don't want to go back to Godhead on my own, I want to help them also. So this is the real compassion. So he said there are many spiritualists, they are just concerned with their own upliftment. They do various yoga, meditation and mon vratas, but I want to go and help these people. And that's the purpose, if we are here in this world, to help these other people. And in 5th canto we have this very nice verse. So here also Prahlad Maharaj is actually praying. This is a prayer by Prahlad Maharaj to Narasimhadev. So here it says, Swasyastu Vishwasya Khala Prasidatam Dhyayantu Bhutani Shivam Mithodhya Manasya Badram Vajatada Dokshaje Aveshyatam No Matir Apyahaitati. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious people be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in the thought of Him. So here it says, you know, Swastyastu Vishwasya Khala Prasidatam. So Khala is the envious person, and also it also refers to a snake. And it said actually an envious person is more dangerous than a snake. But here it's saying, Prahlad Maharaj is praying that actually if we pray to Krishna, Narasimhadev, that let these envious people also be engaged in bhakti yoga. Then what happens is, when with this compassion we approach these people, then there will be a change in their heart. In one of the purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada writes that this is Krishna consciousness is such amazing process that of course it attracts those people who are interested in self-realization, but it will also attract eventually those people who are not interested to serve God or Krishna is their last priority. Even those people will be attracted just by association of pure devotees. So when here it says, We should always remain absorbed in thought of Him. So when devotees, they perform these devotional activities, they are like very purified persons. So when they associate with these envious people, there will be a change in the heart. And this has been just exemplified by these great devotees, their example in Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, Maharaj Parikshit, we should follow his footsteps and try to see that we should go out to conquer the world. Like yesterday, there was a whole big party. We went to another town. So that's like going out to conquer, you know, to change their hearts, basically. Just by seeing devotees chanting, dancing, by taking books of Srila Prabhupada, by taking prasadam, they will be purified. And then there will be a change in heart. That's how most of us are. That's why we are here. I used to go to Crossways restaurant and take prasadam there, and then eventually I took Bhagavad Gita, and then it made sense. It took maybe 1 year, prasadam was purifying me. So it takes time like that, and then we can actually understand. Otherwise there is all these, in this modern age, our mind gets covered. In India, as we know, this modern generation, they are just trying to follow the Western trends, and they are also as covered as the Westerners. I remember when I came to Australia, I was staying with my uncle who was here from many years before, and I had my cousin there. So they, of course, they were eating meat, and I had turned vegetarian somehow. So they used to cook vegetarian food for me, and so one time they got this takeaway from McDonald's, and my cousin, she took this cheeseburger, and for years she had been taking, and my uncle, so that day I just asked, oh, what's in there? So she said, yeah, beef, and my uncle heard, he said, what? All this time you have been eating, I thought there is only cheese in there. We are Hindus. we don't take beef. You know. Although he is like a very big atheist, but he had some remnants. He said, oh, we are Hindus. And my sister, my cousin, and I was also very covered that time. I was not practicing Krishna consciousness. Although I was a vegetarian, but we were like from the young generation. So we were like, why is he, you know? So then later what she did, she took a bite and threw it in the bin just to prove, see, I just took, you know. And then we were discussing, you know, why is he, the old man, you know, creating so much trouble, whether it's cow or, you know, any other animal, how does it matter, you know? But then later when I read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand, no, the karma that comes by killing cow is much more than killing lower animals. So this younger generation is actually covered so much. And although in India also this is just getting lost, this spiritual understanding, and they are slaughtering cows in India as well. So how can we change the world is just by changing ourselves. When we change ourselves, and then when we approach these people, so one by one, so many devotees are meeting so many people, so slowly this change will just spread like wildfire. So that's the process of bhakti yoga. So we relish ourselves and we help others, and then Krishna will be happy. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments or corrections on what we discussed.
This fervor can be understood because of racism. Can you give some light on that?
The black man.
Because they may think all black men are just black humans, or they should be killed.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to see where it says here, lower class Shudra. subtle senses that the acts that the Shudra perform, they are black or dark, that not very bright acts performed by Shudra. So Kalau Shudra Sambhava, so in this day and age we have called the Shudras. But a Brahmana, it can be, although it may be darker in complexion, but if his activities and qualities are top class, then he is considered the brightest person. That's how I would take that back. But if you want to add from that, is
abuse, or whatever, some people may think that this is my business to do that. becoming more and more absorbed. We are doing 70 and 80 Vedanta course. Now, if you observe the mind of Krishna, then you are envious, like Shripal, Jantanakar, all those people, they also are liberated because constant absorption about Krishna purifies. Even as any envious people, they cannot look at Krishna. Krishna is completely pure, therefore, by thinking of him, also makes him.
Yeah.
That's how they were giving the immersion in the Rasayana.
Yeah. So yesterday, actually, I was thinking how this Krishna consciousness, many points are very subtle.
Yes.
Like we say, okay, if you drink milk and it nourishes brain tissues, you can understand this. But on a gross level, it's very hard to understand. So yesterday, actually, Mataji, Thakurani Mataji from Vrindavan, I just did small service for her, and Mataji was saying, okay, now you have blessings of all seven mothers. And I had never heard like that. Oh, wow, that's very good. So how is the blessings? I asked, she said, no. She said, oh, I'm representing all seven mothers, I'm blessing. So then I was thinking, oh, these subtle things actually, blessings, prayers of devotees, how actually that's what changes our heart.
Yeah.
So we place our faith on that and then we see the change. It's not a blind faith, and then we put more faith, our faith increases, and then we want more blessings and we pray more to Krishna. So these are very subtle things, and as we grow spiritually, we advance.